Well, I'm glad you're here this evening, and again, I trust you've gotten your Bibles out already and that you're prepared to turn along as we study together this evening for just a few moments. I want to encourage you, as always, to take the things that we have to say and try them by the Scriptures to see if they're true, and if they are true, that we'll take and use them and put them into practice in our lives. But if there's anything I say that's not based on the Word of God, you'd be my friend to point that out, because I want to do what's right. I want to teach what's right so that I can go to heaven and help others to go to heaven someday. Let me ask you a question. Do you ever get frustrated when you try to share the gospel with other people? That is, do you ever get frustrated as you put forth the effort to teach them and yet you don't get the response that you really desire? Maybe they ridicule you. Maybe they just respond in an indifferent manner. But we don't always get the results that we want. I think we understand, all of us, that we have a responsibility to share the gospel. That's a God-given responsibility to those that are children of God. The Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1 in verses 14 and verse 16 that he was a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians. That just simply means I'm under obligation to them. He wasn't under obligation to the Greeks and the barbarians because of something they had done. He was under obligation because of what the Lord had done for him. And he felt as a result of that he had the obligation to take the gospel and to share it with others. For the gospel is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believes. And just like the Apostle Paul felt that he was under obligation, I need to feel a sense of obligation toward my fellow man to share the gospel with them. Because somebody shared it with me, and by the grace of God, I can be saved if I've been obedient to his word. And God placed the gospel in earthen vessels. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7 tells us that the gospel's been placed in earthen vessels. And that just simply means that men are those that God has given the responsibility to spread the gospel. He could have spread it by angels. He could have done it directly himself. But God decided to place his treasure in earthen vessels. That means that I've got a responsibility. And you have a responsibility to spread the gospel. But in spreading the gospel, we don't always get the response and the reception that we'd like. Of course, we're not alone in that. Even in the New Testament, the response was not always what the gospel preachers and teachers would have desired. I think about Acts chapter 13, where the Apostle Paul had come to Antioch of Pisidia and had preached the gospel there. Originally, they had some interest in the gospel, but when the Jews heard further what the Apostle Paul had to say, they judged themselves unworthy of everlasting life. And Paul said, as a result of that, we turn to the Gentiles. Our Lord, despite being perfect in his teaching and in his approach and in the wisdom that he used, didn't win everybody to his cause. They were those that crucified him upon the cross in rejection of his message. And so you and I are not alone when we don't always get the response that we want. But sometimes we'd like to know why. Why don't I get the response that I would desire? Why don't people listen to us in the preaching and the teaching of the gospel? And I don't know that I know the answer to that in every circumstance. But I do believe that I can learn some things by looking at the case of Felix in Acts chapter 24. And really what I want to raise the question with you tonight is, why did Felix not obey the gospel? Here the Apostle Paul reasons with him about righteousness and temperance, self-control, and the judgment to come. And in spite of hearing that preaching, Felix said, "Go away. When I have a convenient time, I will call for thee." And so let's talk for a few moments tonight about why did Felix not obey the gospel. As we begin to talk about Felix, I want to talk a little bit about the background of the story, about who Felix was, and really the events that led to this exchange in Acts 24. The background of the story, of course, is that the Apostle Paul had been arrested. He had been arrested on false charges back in Acts chapter 21. He had come into the city of Jerusalem, and there when he came into the city, he had consulted with the leaders of the Jerusalem church. They'd given him some advice on some things he could do to help his reputation among the Jewish Christians. They told him about the men that were under a vow and take and pay their expenses. And if you do all these things, it'll help you in your relationship to the Jewish Christians. And Paul was doing that. And in the midst of the time when that vow that was taken was coming to an end, some false charges were made against him. The Jews accused him of taking a Gentile by the name of Trophimus, an Ephesian, into the temple. And as a result of that, an angry mob had gathered around Paul and would have taken his life had Lysias, the tribune or the commander, not intervened and taken him into custody. First he thought he must have been a terrible insurrectionist, maybe an Egyptian that had a reputation for causing trouble for the Jews to have had such an outrage. But he realized he was a Roman citizen, and he tried to determine exactly what the charges were, and he couldn't do that, even when he took him before the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin got into a dispute among themselves over the resurrection, and they're still left without any official charges on Paul. Some of the Jews wanted Paul dead so bad that they vowed they wouldn't eat anything until Paul was put to death, and this plot against his life was uncovered. And as a result of that, Claudius Lysias decided it best to send him to Caesarea, and he would be safer there in the custody of Felix. And so he was moved to Caesarea. And there he came into Felix's custody. And there Paul appears before Felix. But Felix delays the decision on Paul's case, probably a political move, where he says, we're not going to make any decision, and Lysias comes down, and then I'll decide on Paul's case. It's interesting that when he leaves office, 2 years later, he still hasn't made a decision on Paul's case. But that's what brought Paul here before Felix. Now, not only do we need to understand what brought him here, I think it's important to understand something about this individual that Paul is preaching the gospel to. Felix was a man that had begun his life as a slave. He was a former slave under of Antonia, the mother of Claudius Caesar. And he, along with his brother Pallas, had gained freedom and rose to power, and he had largely done it through the influence of his brother. By the way, Felix, it seems, never really lost that slave background. Some said he exercised the rule of a king with the spirit of a slave. And so that accounts for, at least partially, for the reputation he had as a murderer, as a tyrant, as somebody that was unfair. He would be removed from office a couple of years after this, as a result of the fact that a number of Jews had been killed in an uproar under his leadership. So he had a reputation of being a tyrant. But he was a man that was married to Drusilla. Drusilla was his third wife. Drusilla was a Jewish woman. She was actually the daughter of Herod Agrippa. Not the Herod Agrippa II, but Herod Agrippa I. He's the king of Acts 12. You remember the king of Acts 12 that is praised as a god and dies of intestinal worms? That's Drusilla's father. She's the daughter of King Agrippa I, the brother, the sister then of the Agrippa from two chapters over, Acts chapter 26. That is Drusilla's brother. She was also sister, by the way, to Bernice of Acts chapter 26 as well. So if you sort of see the relationship between these key participants in the Apostle Paul's trial. But this was his third wife. Drusilla had been married before to a ruler of a small kingdom in Syria, but Felix used a magician, according to secular history, as a medium and persuaded her to leave her husband and marry him. And she's about 20 years old at this time. This is an adulterous marriage for both Drusilla and Felix. And so he's a man that's living in immorality and a reputation for being a murderer and corrupt. And so this is the man that Paul shares the gospel with. And I want you to understand about Felix that not only was he all these other things, but he was a man with an ample opportunity to obey the gospel. Here is a man that, despite all of his background, despite anything negative that might be said about Felix, here is a man that is given an ample opportunity to obey the gospel, and yet in spite of that, he sends the Apostle Paul away for a convenient time. He could have left all those sins of the past behind. He could have prepared himself to meet the Lord, and yet he resists the gospel. Why did he do that? Why did he not obey the gospel? Let me say, first of all, I think it's important that we understand some reasons it wasn't. Let me say, Felix did not, it was not because that he was unfamiliar with the way. Now, sometimes we hear people or know people that haven't obeyed the gospel, but maybe they haven't obeyed the gospel because they're just not familiar with the way. Maybe they haven't been taught yet. But Felix sending the Apostle Paul away and saying, in a convenient time I will call for thee, it was not because he was unfamiliar with the way.
In fact, this text begins in verse 22 by telling us he had a more accurate knowledge of the way, verse 22. Or a rather accurate knowledge of the way, or some translations just simply say he had a pretty accurate knowledge of the way. We think about the way was what the Apostle Paul preached. Look back at verse 14 in this same chapter, Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. And the Apostle Paul said, "But this I confess to you, that according to the way which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and the prophets." What was the way? The way was what Paul lived. It's what he preached. It's that which was in harmony with the law and the prophets. And what the Bible tells us about Felix is Felix had a pretty accurate knowledge of that way. He knew what it was about. He was familiar with what the prophets had told. Not only was he familiar with the way, he heard Paul concerning the faith in Christ, verse 24 and 25. Look at verse 24 and 25 of this chapter. When he said, "After some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ." He heard the Apostle Paul teach him about the faith of the Lord, about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And verse 26 says, Felix sent for Paul often and conversed with him. The Bible doesn't detail for us everything that took place in these conversations. But I think we're probably familiar enough with the Apostle Paul to know that in these conversations, he surely shared more about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why did Felix not obey the gospel? Let me say, first of all, it wasn't because he was unfamiliar with the way. Secondly, it was not because he could not be forgiven. Somebody might say, "Well, now maybe Felix just thought he'd done too many bad things." I mean, there are few people that have the background of Felix. A murderer, corrupt, an adulterer in his third marriage already, a man that would lie and do anything he could to climb his way to the top. But let me say, Felix, the reason he didn't obey the gospel was not because he couldn't be forgiven. In fact, anybody can be forgiven if they'll obey the gospel. I remember the Lord saying in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 31 to the Pharisees that tax collectors and harlots will enter the kingdom of heaven before you. What did he mean? Well, what he simply meant was they were more likely, I think, to change than what some of these Pharisees were who were sinning in their religious error. But I tell you what, these tax collectors, which had a reputation for dishonesty and for covetousness and materialism, these were really considered about as low as you could get on the pole of sinners. And what the Lord was saying is they can enter the kingdom of heaven if they'll obey the gospel. I tell you, when I look at the converts of the New Testament, you see individuals that in the eyes of men surely had to be some of the very worst sinners and people you could think of. I think about Paul, who was a blasphemer, an unbeliever, and a persecutor. And yet he said, "I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief." I don't know if Felix ever told the Apostle Paul, "You just don't know what I've done. You don't know the kind of things I've been guilty of." But I do know that if he had shared that with the Apostle Paul would probably have said, "I can beat you on that. You wouldn't believe the things I've done. I was the chief of sinners, and yet I've been forgiven by the Lord." I mean, you think not only about the Apostle Paul, but you think about Simon, who's a liar and a deceiver. You see, God wants all men to repent and be saved. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 and 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Today, I've heard people say today, I don't know if you've ever heard anybody say it, but I've talked to individuals before, and they'd say, "If you just knew what I've done, if you just knew the kind of life that I've lived, surely the Lord doesn't want me." No, God wants all men to repent of his. He won't save you in your sin, but he can save you from your sin if you'll just turn to him in obedience and in repentance. And Felix surely understood that. It wasn't that he couldn't be forgiven of his sin. And then not only was it because he wasn't unfamiliar with the way, and it wasn't because he couldn't be forgiven, it's not because the preaching was bad. Now, sometimes I wonder sometimes, and I know you've probably been there, what could I say different that would have made a difference? You know, could I have had a different approach and people listen? But you know, sometimes the problem's not with the teaching. Sometimes it's not with the preaching. Sometimes it's in the hearing. And I think such was the case with Felix here. I mean, the preacher was the Apostle Paul. Let me say about Paul that even though the details are not given, you know, it would have been impossible for the Bible to record every detail of every sermon and everything that was ever said. And sometimes the Bible just gives us a description of what was said. And in this particular case, in the first meeting, it said he reasoned with him about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. But I tell you what I know about that lesson from the Apostle Paul. I know that it was a lesson that surely was based on Scripture. Because that's how the Apostle Paul taught. When the Apostle Paul taught, he reasoned from Scripture. Acts 17 and verse 2 tells us about the Apostle Paul coming into the synagogue at Thessalonica. And he said, as his custom was, he went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures. Do you think the Apostle Paul took a different approach to Felix? I can see Felix and the Apostle Paul say, here's the Scriptures that show that Jesus is there. Here are the passages that show what you need to do. You see, Felix surely heard a lesson that was reasoned out from the Scriptures. Furthermore, let me say the preaching was delivered by someone that was not a hypocrite. You know, it wasn't that the Apostle Paul preached one thing and did something else. It wasn't that he had an individual here that was pretending to be something he was not. Paul wasn't a hypocrite. He practiced what he preached. He'd always tried to live in good conscience before the Lord. He had always striven to live faithful. And here in Acts 24 and verse 25, Acts chapter 24 and in verse 25, verse 25, it was said that he reasoned about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come. I mean, you think about those things. Righteousness, walking in the commandments of the Lord, blameless, self-control, self-denial. Paul was the very example of those things. He practiced what he preached. And not only that, he addressed what he needed to hear. You know, sometimes you can reason from Scriptures, and it's possible that you might have somebody that's not a hypocrite, but they just sort of beat around the bush. And they don't really get down to what is needed by the listener. But Paul addressed what he needed to hear. I mean, can you think of anything he needed to hear that's not included in those things? Righteousness? How to be righteous? The Apostle Peter said in Acts 10 and verse 35, Acts 10, 35, that in every nation whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. I can see the Apostle Paul sitting before Felix and saying, you're going to have to be righteous if you're going to serve the Lord. Tell you what it means to be righteous. Righteous means to walk in harmony with his command. This is what it's going to require of you, Felix. You know that when he talked about self-control. You know, whoever wants to be my disciple, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Felix, you're going to have to deny yourself. You're going to have to give up this adulterous marriage. You're going to have to learn to control your temper and rule in a different way. You're going to have to bring your passions under control. And Felix, you need to do that because there's a judgment day coming. You're going to stand before God someday and give an account for how you've lived your life. Everybody is. And you'll be judged by what you've done in the body, whether good or bad, 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10. He addressed what Felix needed to hear. And yet in spite of that, Felix didn't obey. It wasn't because the preaching was bad. I remember sitting one time in a business meeting where we were discussing the support of a man that we had supported overseas. And I remember a fellow speaking up and saying, well, I tell you what, I think it's time we cut his support off right now. Because he's been over there and he's been preaching, I can't remember how long he'd been over there, and he's not one person or not that many people to the Lord. He must not be doing a good job over there. Well, the problem is whether he was or wasn't, I may not be in a position to judge. But I tell you, sometimes the preaching can be good and the responses are not. I think about Noah, who in 120 years couldn't win one convert in Genesis chapter 6. Sometimes the fault's not in the preaching. Sometimes the fault is in the hearing. Why did Felix not obey the gospel? Well, let me say it was not because he's unfamiliar with the way. It's not that he couldn't be forgiven. It's not because the preaching was bad. It's not because he didn't believe in God. One might have understood if Felix had said, well, you know what, I just don't believe there's a God. I don't believe in the Lord, therefore there's no reason for me to prepare. But the very fact that he sent and was interested about the faith in Christ tells me that he had some belief, I believe. The very fact that he trembled at the teaching of the Apostle Paul, that's not something an unbeliever does. And I use the term unbeliever in the sense of one that doesn't believe in that sentence. You know, that if he had believed, if he didn't believe in God, there'd been no reason to tremble. He must have believed that there was a God. He must have understood that he was going to stand before him someday in judgment. You know, not all believers obey the gospel. Not all people that believe in the Lord, not all people that believe in Jesus obey the gospel. In John 12, in verse 42, John records there concerning some of the Jewish leaders that they believed in the Lord. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Here are people that believe, but they weren't willing to obey. In John 8 and verse 31, Jesus said to those that believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. They were people that believed in him. And I take that to mean that they believed he was from God. They believed he was the Messiah that he claimed to be. They believed that he was deity. And yet Jesus said, if you abide in my word, then you're my disciples. Being a believer alone didn't make them a disciple. When and only when they decided to obey that gospel and abide in that word would they be a disciple. Why did Felix not obey the gospel? Let me say it was not because the preaching was bad. It wasn't because he couldn't be forgiven. It was because he was unfamiliar with the way. It's not because he didn't believe in God. And it wasn't because he was comfortable with the situation. I've had people tell me before, when you try to share the gospel with them, don't share it with me. I don't need to hear that. I'm pleased where I'm at. I'm comfortable. I feel I'm right. And I don't need to hear anything else. But I want to tell you, Felix wasn't that person. Felix wasn't a person that felt comfortable with where he trembled at Paul's preaching. He was afraid. He was alarmed. Here's a man that when he hears this message, he realizes he's not serving the Lord. He realizes there's a judgment day coming. And the very thought of standing before God in judgment causes him, if you look at the King James translation, to literally shake with fear. And yet, in spite of the fact that here is a man that in fear is trembling and obey the gospel. I mean, I believe Paul probably taught him about the possibility of going to hell in the judgment day. You think he probably mentioned that to him? Place that burns with fire and brimstone. That very thought caused him to tremble. And yet still, he didn't obey the gospel. And we wonder why. Why would a man who knew the truth, why would a man who heard the best gospel preaching, why would a man that believed in God and who trembled at the prospect of standing before God in judgment, why would he tell the Apostle Paul, go away for now, when I have a convenient time, I will call for thee? Well, I don't know that I know all the answers to that, but I think I can get some insight from what is recorded here in Acts chapter 24 and maybe help you and I when we struggle in trying to teach people the gospel. Why don't they listen? Let me say, first of all, I think Felix did not obey because, in spite of how he felt, his desire to please unsaved people was greater than his desire to please God. Sometimes people don't obey the gospel even though they know they're lost. You know, I can understand more. I don't know about you. I can understand more somebody that tells me I'm comfortable with where I'm at. I think I'm saved. I'm not interested. I'm not saying they're right in not listening to the gospel, but I can understand more somebody that feels safe where they're at than I can the person that'll look at you and say, you know what, I know I'm lost. I know if I was going to die, I would go to hell, but I'm still not going to obey the gospel. Why does that happen sometimes? Why would it happen for somebody like Felix? Sometimes the simple answer is their desire to please unsaved people is greater than their desire to please the Lord. You think about Felix. He had a wife, an unscriptural marriage. Despite what some would have told Felix, he couldn't just obey the gospel and wash away those past wives and keep the one he had. That was going to require that marriage to end. That's what, you know, it wasn't lawful for him to have her. That's what John has said in Matthew 14 and 3 and 4 and talking to Herod, it's not lawful for thee to have thy brother Philip's wife. I picture the Apostle Paul sometime in this conversation with Felix making a similar statement to him. And yet, he was going to have to leave behind his wife. He was going to have to change the way he ruled. You see, he wanted to please the Jews. Look at Acts chapter 24. Do you see that point made here in this chapter over and again? Why did he not call the trial immediately? He had a knowledge of the way. And by the way, when that is said in verse 22, I think it is said in connection with this, Felix was qualified to make a judgment in Paul's case. He knew the way. He didn't need somebody to come and tell him more about it. He had a knowledge enough that he was able to make a decision, but he didn't do it. Why? because of the Jews. And after 2 years of hearing the Apostle Paul about the faith in Christ, about righteousness and temperance and the judgment to come, this is what verse 27 says. It said, but after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul back. Why is it that a man like Felix would shun the invitation and trembling not obey the gospel? I believe at least one answer is found in the fact that his desire to please unsaved people was greater than his desire to please the Lord. Are you not obeying the gospel because of those close to you? If you're not a Christian tonight, is that keeping you from obeying the gospel? You know, I've had people say before, I believe he'd obey the gospel if it wasn't for this person, or if it wasn't for that person, or if it wasn't, you know, for his mom, or if it wasn't for his wife, he'd obey the gospel. Well, maybe Felix would have, if it hadn't been for the Jews. But when we're ready to obey the gospel, that means we're willing to put the Lord before everything else. The Apostle Paul said, if I would please men, I would not be a servant of Jesus Christ. Galatians chapter 1 and in verse 10. Why did Felix not obey? Sometimes the simple answer is people don't obey in spite of all the things that advantages they have, because their desire to please unsaved people is greater than their desire to please the Lord. Remember those Jews? We talked about John 12 just a minute ago, that even among the rulers many believed in him, but because of the Pharisees they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue, for they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. I'll tell you something else I think about Felix. Why did Felix not obey the gospel? I believe part of it was materialism. Sometimes our attachment to things of this world is greater than our attachment to the Lord. He was hoping that Paul would give him some money. I guess Felix really did not have a true understanding of value. Paul had offered him something far greater than money. He'd offered him the opportunity to become a child of God, an opportunity to be forgiven of all his sins. And yet it said in verse 26 that Paul sent for him, or that Felix sent for him, and he conversed with him often. But he said in verse 26, meanwhile he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul, that he might release it. Here's a man, in spite of the fact, I think he's got some regard for Paul. You know, I think Felix realizes a number of things. I think he realizes that Paul is honest, that Paul is innocent. He gives him a great deal of freedom. You know, that you allow the people that want to come to see him to come to him. I think he probably believes that what Paul is teaching deep down, at least he believes it to be the truth. And yet he leaves him in prison because he's hoping some money might be given to him. You see the attachment to material things. And I think sometimes that prevents people from obeying the gospel today. The thorns of it would just simply crowd out the gospel. There's not room for the Lord. In spite of the fact that some may have all the advantages that Felix had, they don't obey the gospel. Some don't obey the gospel because many love the world too much to give it up. You know, I will say this about Felix. I think at least Felix probably understood that if he obeyed the gospel, it was going to require change. He couldn't be the same old Felix he had always been. He couldn't continue to live the way he'd lived and involve himself in the things that he was involved in. It was going to require a change in his life. You know, Felix, we've described as this immoral, murdering tyrant, but he wouldn't obey the gospel because maybe of materialism, or maybe because he just couldn't give up some things of this world. But I want to tell you, there's somebody in Matthew chapter 19 that's sort of in many ways the polar opposite of Felix. And yet there's some similarities that are there. And that's the rich young ruler who could, when the Lord talked to him, he could say, you know what, I'm not an adulterer. I obey my parents. I'm not a thief. I mean, he was a good moral man. And in that way, he was exactly the opposite of everything that Felix was. And yet when he asked the Lord what he had to do to inherit eternal life, the Lord said, go sell all that you have and give to the poor and you'll have treasure in heaven. And the Bible says he went away sorrowful, for he had great possession. There was a man that went away, much like Felix, trembling, I believe sorrowful, because he realized he was lost. But there were things in this world that had too much hold on him, and he was unwilling to give those things up in order to serve the Lord. Many don't obey the gospel in spite of what they know because they love the world too much to give it up. 1 John chapter 2 and 15 to 17 warns us to love not the world nor the things that are in the world. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of the Father abides forever. Tell you what John reminded those to whom he was writing. If the world's got a hold on you, then you need to realize those are things that aren't going to last.
They're not. They're temporary pleasures at best.
And so far as I know, Felix may never have obeyed the gospel. And maybe it was that world had too much of a hold on him. He wasn't willing to give up his position. He wasn't willing to give up his wife. He wasn't willing to change how he ruled. But I will promise you this. If you could talk to Felix today, he'd give up everything he ever had. The opportunity to obey the gospel. This world is not worth it. And Felix would tell you that.
Why did Felix not obey the gospel? Well, maybe it was just simply the fact that he refused to live by its teaching.
Obeying required living right, required self-control. Obeying required Felix to change. And maybe he was unwilling to do that.
I've had people tell me before, I know I need to obey the gospel. I know that. I know I'm lost, but I just don't know, I don't want to live in that way. I can't live the kind of life that I believe I need to live. At least they understand that living according to the gospel means living a faithful life. It means obeying the gospel. It means self-control.
It means having to leave sin behind. That's what Romans chapter 6 talks about. Dying to sin. That's what's required.
But I also know this. When people say, I can't do it. I know the Lord does not allow us to face things that are harder than what we can overcome. And are greater than what we can bear. Someone may choose not to overcome those things. Somebody may choose not to live in harmony with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not because they cannot. It's because they will.
And I think that's the case with Felix. I don't believe it's that Felix could not. I believe it's just the very simple fact that Felix would not live in harmony with the gospel.
I don't know all the answers as to why people don't obey the gospel. But I tell you what I learned from Felix is this. Sometimes people that know the gospel, know the truth. Sometimes people that have heard it preached by qualified good teachers like Paul. Sometimes people that believe. Sometimes people that know they're lost still don't render obedience to the gospel. And why do they not do that? Sometimes it's because the desire to please other people is greater than the desire to please the Lord.
Sometimes it may be materialism and the attachment to the things of this world. But sometimes they just love the world too much to give it up. Sometimes it may be they just simply refuse to live by its teaching.
Felix, in response to the Apostle Paul's teaching, said, "When I have a convenient time, I will call for thee." Sometimes we misquote that passage. Sometimes we put the word more in that. It's not actually in that. When I have a more convenient time, I will call for thee. But really what Felix tells the Apostle Paul is, when I have a convenient time, I'll call for thee. The English Standard Version says, when I get the opportunity. The New American Standard Version says, when I get time. You know, usually when we say about something, you know, when I get time, I'm going to get around to it. It's something we never get around to. Well, when I have the opportunity, I'm going to do it. And that's really what Felix says this time. When I get the opportunity, when I get the time, when it's convenient, then I'm going to obey the gospel. He was waiting, I believe, for a time when obeying required no political disadvantage, demanded no personal sacrifice. When it was convenient for Felix, then he would consider obeying the gospel. And when that time never came. And I want to tell you tonight, if you're here and you've not yet obeyed the gospel, but you're like Felix, maybe trembling at the thought of standing before the Lord in judgment, if you're waiting for a time when the gospel is not going to require sacrifice, if you're waiting for the time in which there's no sin to be left behind, no changes to be made, like Felix, that time's not going to come. But I tell you what Felix, as I said earlier, would tell you today is whatever sacrifices have to be made, whatever has to be given up is well worth it in order to serve the Lord and be ready to stand before Him in the judgment day. Why haven't you obeyed the gospel? If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, the question is, why have you not obeyed the gospel? The Lord has done His part. I'm confident that you've been taught, maybe on more than one occasion, what you have to do to be saved. Why not obey the gospel tonight? There's no need to go home trembling like Felix. There is no need to go home tonight like that rich young ruler, sorrowful, realizing you're still in your sins. Instead, tonight, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you can go away like that Ethiopian eunuch. When he rose from those waters of baptism, he went on his way rejoicing, realizing that the burden of sin had been lifted. And that if he never made it home to Ethiopia, he had a home in heaven waiting for him. Would you not obey the gospel tonight, believing on the Lord, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus, and be buried in the waters of baptism? Don't delay like Felix. Don't put it off. Or maybe there's somebody here that's obeyed the gospel. And maybe somewhere along the line you have wandered away from the Lord. I tell you, coming back to the Lord is going to require repentance. It's going to require you to change. But don't be like Felix and continue on in your sin. Make those corrections that you need to make, that the Lord might forgive you, that heaven might be yours. No matter what your need is this evening, would you not make your life right with the Lord? Would you not do it even right now as together we stand and we sing?